back to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the show. Text us, and we'll go back and forth over whatever it is that is on your mind. Still to come about an hour from now from the Alabama Policy Institute, Stephanie Holden Smith. And then in that 11 o'clock hour, dare I say, Baldwin County Circuit Court candidate Kim Earle will be making an in-studio appearance. So we're looking forward to that. But joining us now on the line, with just every other Monday, it's his turn into rotation, but I'm happy to introduce my next guest, State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thank you again for having me.
Hey, we always appreciate having you on. Well, let's kick it off here. You and I talked right after the governor's State of the State address for a little bit. Your reaction to things kind of going on in the tempo and the mood there in the in these early stages of the legislative session?
Not too many surprises. I'm pretty much going the way expected. It, looks like the gaming is going to be the priority there. Tackling that head on, and of course it's getting very contentious very quick, and we'll see. Leadership seems to be handling everything well, and so we'll just take that one day at a time and see how that all plays out.
What is your what is your take on the gambling bill?
Well, we just got the bill last week, so I've been reading over it, kind of wrapping my brain around it, trying to make the best call I can with it. Plus, I'm starting to hear back more now that the bill's out from constituents and community leaders throughout our area. So I'm listening to them and their concerns and issues and, just trying to wrap my brain around all of it. And of course, I vote my district. So whenever the vote comes up, we'll be listening to their community in our district to see what they want.
What does the timeline look like? I and you would know better than I would, but it looks like maybe even as early as Thursday you could have a vote on this.
Yeah, I suspect it's going to come up pretty quick. I don't think they're going to let it linger and draw out for too long. I think that they're meeting with all the vested parties and interested parties trying to get their take on it and get all the bugs worked out of it, but I suspect that we're going to probably see something this coming up week.
Yeah, I guess that tells us they got the votes, or at least they think they do, if it moves fast. So, what are you hearing? Do your colleagues seem pretty much on board with this? What's the mood in the chamber?
I've spoken to a lot of members, and it's really a mixture of opinions, I guess. You got some that are voting that are very passionate and their districts are wanting it. You got some that are very passionate and their districts don't want it. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out and, in the big scheme of things. But I've not heard of any polling done or any unofficial counts yet, but I'm suspecting or sure they have done that. I don't know, man. It's really hard to say yet. I'm sure we'll have a better understanding when we go back up tomorrow and get a better opinion of where everybody stands.
Well, you're the law enforcement guy usually on this program, but what do you think of that mechanism creating the regulatory arm or enforcement arm that's independent of the AG's office or ALEA and going about it that way. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think that's the right way to go when just kind of creating, because this is such a big part of it, Representative. They want one of the reasons they are saying that this is a justification for the passage of this bill is to crack down on the illegal gaming. And not that I would disagree with it, but I guess it's just how they're going to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. My opinion, we should have been doing that a long time ago and working on that, not waiting until now. But, I've reached out to a couple of the legislators in Mississippi. I'm waiting to hear back from them today to get their opinions and how things are running there, and you know, how their, I guess, gaming authority is worked and handled. So I'm waiting to hear back from some of that to get some opinions from a place that already has gaming and see how things are working there and their opinions. But you know, I've not really grasped how the how that's going to work or whatever. I get what they're saying, you know, far as being able to address some of the other illegal facilities and stuff that's going on now. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, man, we could address that and should have addressed that a long time ago. You know, I don't know if now's that makes things any better or not.
Well, and you know, you've read the report and you got the bill. And I guess it's a problem, and you know, a lot of it just seems to be local law enforcement not enforcing the existing laws on the books. And then, I mean, this has been a longstanding problem in Alabama when the AG gets involved, or in the case of Troy King, does not get involved. And just how rampant of a problem do you think it is, especially in our part of the state?
I think it's increased. You know, it's gone on over the years. I know, you know, it's just not been addressed across the state. I mean, there's some areas that do and some that don't, but the fact of the matter is that's not right or fair. You got some of these gaming operations that are making contributions or donations to the local law enforcement, the sheriffs, and you know, and by doing so, they get left alone. And, you know, to me, that's nothing short of a bribe, or it's definitely not the right way that things should be ran or handled.
Well, and, you know, that seems to be a bigger problem here. I mean, I guess we don't really have as much. I'm sure we do have it. I don't think we have as much illegal gambling. I guess just because of the proximity to Mississippi, and if you really want to spend your gambling dollar, you could do it legally an hour away.
Yeah, you've got Porch Creek, you know, basically an hour north of us in Atmore, and then you've got the Mississippi gaming south of us, basically an hour away. So I'm sure that plays a part in what's going on in our area, but most of the operations that I've heard of or know about in our area has been smaller, you know, little, a game here, a game there in convenience stores or something. But I've never really heard of nothing massive or big in our area. Mostly those are up in Greene County and around other parts of the state.
The and talking about that, The one of the facilities or casinos they have in the language of the bill, it's in Mobile County, and everyone, I guess, assumes that they're referring to, I guess, the Mobile Greyhound Park, but that's not necessarily true. I mean, they could, I suppose, could apply for a license somewhere else in the county, and there's a lot of discussion about that. Well, what do you think about the component of it that's here at home?
You know, I just as you said, everybody's assuming that it's the Greyhound Park there in Theodore, Tillman's Corner. But, you know, it don't have to be. I'm sure they could apply for something different. You know, so it's not, I don't think it's as big of a deal in that area and maybe in the Mobile County area due to our proximity to the other gaming facilities. But, you know, Baldwin County and some other parts of the state, they are adamant against it because they don't want gaming. You know, their population's already busting at the seams and their infrastructure is really taxed, you know, with all the tourist traffic and others. So, you know, I think that's going to play, you know, it's all kinds of factors that's going to play a part in this and really in how it plays out and how it develops over the next week or two.
And you're in the Baldwin County delegation now, after reapportionment. I don't know, you talk to your Baldwin County constituents, but it does seem like, and we're kind of trying to figure this out. I mean, Would the possibility of gambling in Baldwin County, what would that do to your calculus on this?
Well, the few constituents I've heard from, they're okay with it. And they're wanting to vote on some form of gaming. But, you know, this the southern part that really is not wanting the increased traffic and, I guess, tax extra people on their infrastructure. So, I don't know. It's, I look at all that. I do talk to my constituents in Mobile and Baldwin County and listen to them. And I actually reach out and encourage them to give me some feedback. So I am hopefully representing, the best interests of both our counties.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Other things, you said you and I were talking after the governor state of the state, put gambling aside, and she did give it mention, but there was a whole lot more there. And I guess now, and tell me if this is true, because when I talked to some of your colleagues in both chambers, gambling and school choice seem to be leading the way. Is that necessarily what you're hearing when you do talk to your constituents? I mean, are you getting much feedback about either one of those two?
Yeah, that's the primary issue that the state legislature is dealing with. And, of course, we're hearing about the border, which is, not in our purview. But, we do what we can do. But, yes, that's the two issues we're seeing and addressing and, been listening and talking to different ones about the school choice bill. And don't sound like it's a bad bill. Going to have to kind of get in there and figure out everything. But it sounds like it may not be a bad start to get where we need to be and where we want to be.
Yeah, and that's right. But it's in the very, very early going. It's got a floor at $100 million, but it's there's a means test. And I guess we kind of graduate it up as the years go by. But talking to Sarah Orr, who chairs the ETF, he seems to think that the expenses from adding this the school choice component to the education budget could probably be covered by the growth of the ETF.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, and I'm hoping that's the case. It's a lot of this is a very complex issue that we're looking at and dealing with. I mean, there's a lot of areas of the state that this is not going to play as much of a role because there's no other schools other than the public schools that they have in those areas. So, they're not going to have other options. So it's not likely to be a major issue or a major game changer across the state because there's lots of rural areas that just do not have other options. So, other than a handful of students that their parents may homeschool, outside of that, I don't think you're going to see a lot of change in a lot of areas.
Well, and this is the big push or the big justification for a school choice bill, Representative. But, I mean, we got to get Alabama better, and we got to get Alabama, out of the basement here when it comes to rankings. And, I guess this, it wouldn't hurt to do this, but I'm not so sure this is the fix all here. I think there's going to be a lot more that needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this is not going to be the fix all. It's just going to be hopefully one step in the right direction. We've got a lot to do, and in trying to get better recruitment of teachers and get things turned around there so we're not having the ratio of students to teachers ain't as bad as it is right now. And, I think that potentially the school choice bill might entice some new charter schools or private schools to open up throughout the state that gives them more options. And, I think that we've got to do what we can do. I know there was a lot of concern during COVID that some of the private, public schools that were closing down for extended periods of time, over the COVID issue. And then yet you had private schools, and Christian schools like in Mobile County, Faith Academy, they pretty much stayed open and ran and never missed a beat. But yet the state, was funding a public school that was closed down most of the time. So we've got to find balance and taking care of our children and making sure that we're getting our grades where they should be and become, get our standards up a little bit more on the statewide scale.
Well, you mentioned a COVID component and just the schools, the public schools shut down, a lot of private schools stayed open for the most part. What, I mean, are public school children, and I know this is like the oldest question in the book, but the teachers union and the power of the teachers union, the AEA, and, I think they were a big portion of why the schools didn't reopen. But, I mean, how do you find that right balance between the organized collective bargaining of the teachers union and what they want versus just getting some kind of change, reform, whatever it may be, in our public education?
Well, I mean, truthfully, dealing with the COVID issue, that was just pure common sense. I mean, if it was okay for teachers and administrators to be going on vacations and traveling everywhere while the schools are shut down, then it was just as good for them to be open and let's teach our children. Let's be focused on getting those scores up to where they should be. So I don't know. It's you have to put common sense in with a lot that we do. And that seems to be the missing element a lot of times.
Well, Representative, we got to wrap it up and leave it there. But thank you for coming on, and we'll do it again in a couple of weeks, and hopefully I'll see you sometime next week.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
All right. State Representative Shane Stringer there. We've got to get a break here. We will return. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.